What do you hope to take away from today's Maranatha Radio? Here's what Pastor Ray Bentley hopes to give you.
My hope, and I guess if I had a twofold checklist of what I would like to accomplish every time we come together and spend time in the Word. Number one, to exhort you, which means to encourage you, to inspire you, to bless you, to comfort you, to heal you. On the other hand, to convict, to bring some sense of conviction.
Spread the news. All of His people coming bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. It's no wonder the Word of God can speak directly to the thoughts and concerns we're currently experiencing. The Bible was written by the very God who created us the way we are. And we'll get a case in point today as Pastor A opens to Titus to enjoy Paul's words of encouragement and conviction. Let's listen.
Titus chapter 1. The title of the message is, The Gospel is Enough. We're going to look at verses 10 through 16. And actually, for a little context, go back with me to verse 7. Paul writes, For a bishop, which means an elder, godly leader, must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. But here are the positive qualities. Hospitable. You share the things that you are blessed with others. A lover of what is good. Sober-minded. Just. Holy. Self-controlled. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who would contradict or those who would quarrel and argue. Paul is going to be talking about there's some false teachers that are coming along. And he's trying to warn them about those who would add something to the gospel. That the gospel is sufficient for your salvation. And that the word of God is sufficient to grow you up in Christ Jesus. And he has been talking about the word and the need for sound doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. So sound teaching, and sound teaching means sound Bible teaching. It's not the teaching of man or the ideas of man or the opinions of man or the wisdom of man or anything of or from man, but God's Word. As Paul wrote to young Timothy, he said, All Scripture is God-breathed. It is inspired. It has power. This Bible has power. It has authority when you allow it into your heart and into your life. So hold fast the faithful word as you have been taught. Now, there are a lot of people today, and unfortunately, there are some churches and church movements that are more interested in entertaining people. And I think that their motives may be right. They want to get people that aren't in church coming to church. And surely there are a lot of people not in church. And you're always wanting to go fishing and to bring them in. But sometimes it can be at too much of an expense or too high of a cost. And sometimes you go and the ideas that will get them to the Word or eventually will bring them to the Word or somehow channel them or funnel them into the Word. And if that happens, good. But sometimes, and maybe more often than not, it doesn't happen. So that there's not anything of substance. Don't be afraid of content. Don't be afraid of challenging yourself, both intellectually, emotionally, as well as obviously spiritually. You can handle sound doctrine, teaching. Now, I will say this. In the past, maybe there are some who have taken that to another extreme where the idea is to get into the pulpit and impress all of the people as a pastor or priest or whatever, with your knowledge. You speak this many languages, and you're pulling out, you know, the Greek, this, this, and that, and the Hebrew, and so forth, and that's good and appropriate at times, but sometimes the motivation is to impress the people with how much this guy knows. And you go, and you walk out really not knowing what they were talking about, but at least you go, wow, that guy's really smart. But what good does that do you? Let me tell you what my goal is. And this I learned from my pastor, Chuck Smith. This is what he told me, you know, from the very, very beginning. He had this little phrase. He said, simply teach the Bible simply. Simply teach the Bible simply. In other words, in order to be effective as a real shepherd, you've got to teach in such a way that it's simple for people to understand. Oh, that's what God said. Oh, that's what God means. Oh, that's how you apply it to your life. Oh, that's the impact. Wow. It is so simple that everybody gets it. Nobody is one-upping or impressing someone else. Everybody gets it. It's so simple that a child can really grasp it, receive it, and live it, and apply it. Simply teaching the Bible simply. In doing that, there's going to be some sound doctrine. There's going to be some issues that are talked about. There may be some words that will be helpful to know what it means in the Greek. Very rich language. Or the Hebrew, for that matter, which is a beautiful as well as profound language. So there is a gift and a calling to be a pastor and teacher. But at the same time, my job is to encourage you to go into the Word, for you to study the Word of God. And I hope that all of you will read the Word for yourselves daily, that you will read it. You do not have to go through only me or only through a man or only what is, you know, hand-fed you. I trust you because I trust the Holy Spirit in you, and I have full confidence in the Word of God. You do not have to take my word for everything that I say. But as the Bereans, you go to the Word. When you hear something, you say, okay, now I'm going to go back to the Word and see, is that exactly what the Lord said and what He meant? And so it's a confidence builder that to trust people and that God will lead you and guide you through the Word. And now, let me also say, I am not against entertainment. And in fact, I think that God is the creator of art. He is... Can you not look at this universe and see that God is quite an artist? An amazing artist. I mean, amazing. He is definitely into art. He is into music. It's all filled all through the Bible. I mean, you know, get to Psalm 50 and everything with the stringed instruments and the cymbals. And he loves that. And there's nothing wrong with... And we, by the way, we try to have... fun, and it is engaging, and it is personal, and it's entertaining, and a variety of styles, and a variety of personalities. God's into athletics, the illustrations used in the Bible, and the camp, you know, running, and jumping, and having fun. God made us in that way. There's nothing wrong with music, and the arts, and sports, and all of those things, but there's also nothing wrong with not selling yourself short. You have a brain. You can use it. God gave you the ability to think. Simply teaching the Bible simply. Now, there were those who were trying to steer people clear and get them off into these little tangents. And James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 talks about watching people's mouths. What comes out of the tongue is very, very crucial and important. And it's in your notes, James 3, 5 and 6. Let's read that scripture out loud together. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Wow. That's a sobering little couple of verses, isn't it? Do you realize, I mean, think about what he is saying. He says, your tongues, it can set a forest fire going with your mouth, with the words that come out of your mouth. I mean, when you speak, it does things. And the tongue is like a sword. When Jesus comes, in Revelation chapter 19, at the second coming, it says, and a sharp sword comes out of his mouth. Now that is symbolic, it's a picture, but it's a graphic picture that when God speaks, it cuts, it's sharp, it's powerful. God said, light be. And light was. I love the Hebrew. The English adds a lot of words sometimes aren't necessary. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Well, the Hebrew is much more compact and emphatic. God said, light be. And light was. Powerful. His word creates. But as it is powerful and creative and healing, it can also, literally, the tongue can do damage like hell itself. It can create a fire that destroys. Words can come out of a human being's mouth that go in and take the tender soul made in the image of God and rip it and shred it and cut it and do irreparable damage. Unless, by God's amazing grace, the Holy Spirit gets involved and brings healing. Now, what if, let's just say, what if we were to take all of your words, and the reason I'm mentioning all of this, if you look at verse 9, when he talks about sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. So the Word of God, the reason I encourage you to know the Word, be in the Word, daily to grow in the Word, is because we need two things, exhortation and conviction. My hope, and I guess if I had a twofold checklist of what I would like to accomplish every time we come together and spend time in the Word. Number one, to exhort you, which means to encourage you. I pray that there is something that will encourage you in courage. Put courage in you in your walk with God to inspire you, to bless you, to comfort you, to heal you, to encourage you. On the other hand, to convict, to bring some sense of conviction. Now, I don't think that we can get too much encouragement. Have you? And I'd like to say that I've never gotten to the end of a day and said, I got encouraged so much. It was so annoying. Gee, all the time, encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. It's never happened. If you get 9 compliments, you get 1 criticism. When you lay down at night and you're thinking, what do you think about? Usually that one criticism, why is it has such power to outweigh 9 people who said, oh, good job, thank you, or whatever. Because we're like a bottomless pit in need of encouragement. You are that way. You can assume and know that everybody around you, those you love, your spouse, your family, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, in Christ, they need it too. The best way to encourage people is through the Word of God. Give them a word. And a lot of times, I don't know what to say. I'm a pastor, and you're wanting to counsel people, and you're wanting to give them an answer, and you can't really give them the answer. But you can give them truth from the Bible. For instance, sometimes I listen, and I just go, man, oh, man, I know. You know what, though? God is still on the throne, isn't he? Oh, yeah, he is. He's still on the throne. He didn't get knocked off the throne by that incident. God is still good, isn't he? Yeah, God is still good. He does work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Somehow, I don't know how, this is going to work out. They're at a crossroads. They don't know what to do, and they're confused. And you're wanting to help them, but you can't really tell them what to do. But you can say, you know, when I'm in situations just like you, the Lord tells me, Ray, just do the next thing. Do the thing that's right in front of you. You're worrying about tomorrow, and you're worrying about maybe this, and what if, and the future, and things will change even when you get to those places. You can only deal with right now and today. Just do the next thing, and do it to the best of your ability. And when you do what's next, then God will give you the strength and grace to do what's after that. So those kind of very basic, simple words of exhortation, encouragement to remind people. But on the other hand, conviction. Conviction means that you are convicted. To convict is also means to cut. It means that your heart feels a burning sensation. The word cuts into your soul and says, oh, it's not right in my life. How many of you would agree this morning that you're not yet 100% perfect? Well, I just raised it. Okay, good. Then you ought to feel some conviction at just about any time. Well, here's one area. What if we had up here a cassette tape or, CD, whatever, of every word you have spoken for the last 30 days, in every setting, in every context, and mumbling even to yourself, said, hey, let's just bring it down here and let's just play that little puppy. And would there be some anguish going on? Would there be, I don't feel good about that? Do you know that the Bible says what comes out of your mouth is a mirror of what's going on in your heart? What are the missiles that you have sent? What are the flames and fires that you have started? What are the cuts that have been made? What is the damage that has been done? And by the way, you don't just, when you hurt others, it's not just a one-way cut. You're cutting your own image, made in the image of God as well. The tongue can spew forth such evil and vile things, all that spring from the heart, that does terrible damage. God says, one day, all the mouths of those who lie will be stopped. Psalm 63, verse 11. Listen to this. Sometimes God's sovereignty silences a person's tongue by sickness, or in extreme cases, death. There are examples in the Bible, and there are even examples around where you go, wow, that guy, he just got more and more blasphemous and arrogant and vile and filthy. And then one day you read about one of those in the book of Acts. You read about another one in the book of Daniel, and you read, there are stories where God is so patient and so gracious, and the reason he waits so long is once judgment comes, that's it for eternity. Sometimes God stops a blasphemer or a cussing man's mouth by bringing him to salvation and bringing him to himself. And there is, of such were many of us. And thank God that those who formerly used their tongues to do damage can now, there's no greater heritage, especially if you want to influence others and you know, minister to others, guide others, lead others, care for others, is your tongue, to watch it. The book of Proverbs says, I encourage you to read through the Bible, and either you're reading a proverb every day or you're reading a psalm. Right now we're reading in Proverbs. And one of the things that you will learn as you go through Proverbs several times in a year is about how to be wise. Nobody likes being thought of as a fool. That guy's a fool. I don't like even to listen to hang around that guy. Or she's a fool. You want to be wise. That guy's wise. I listen to him. Or I listen to her. Okay, well, what's the secret? One of the primary things is that Proverbs you will get from it is shut your mouth. Stop talking. Listen. Spend time listening. Watch your mouth. And take, yes, the frustrations, the feelings, like David did. Throw it up to the Lord in prayer. Be honest with him. And David, man, he said, I am so mad. I want to knock that guy's teeth out. God, kill him. Judge him. And he said a lot of things. God didn't necessarily do everything that David asked or prayed. But he vented to the Lord. Now God, your Father, he's the one you can vent to. That's what prayer is all about. And that's what it's four. And then he would turn, once he had vented, he would turn around, thank you, Father. Thank you for listening to me. I praise you, Father. You're so good. You're so worthy. And his mouth was turned from a bitter spring to a sweet spring. There's nothing like being around somebody that has sweet words. It's like, you know, really, really good water. Jesus battled Satan and his lies. Remember when he went into the wilderness, how did he battle all the lies of the enemy? With the Word of God. It is written. It is written. And Satan even quoted to Jesus the word. He said, hey, the Bible says this. So you know what? You get into the Bible? Good. You start studying it and applying it to your life? Good. The next test will be Satan knows the Bible too. And he'll start quoting you the Bible, trying to get you confused. And that's what was happening with some of these false teachers. Truth is the spiritual weapon that is able to destroy fortresses, false ideas, and every lofty thing that raises itself against the truth of God. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. Now look with me in verses 10 and 11. Paul writes, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. 2,000 years ago, much of the church were Jewish. And there were two camps. It was kind of an inner family Jewish debate going on. On the one side were those who were faithfully upholding the gospel. The Apostle Paul, obviously, as we see here, Peter and James and John and the apostles standing, holding forth the word of God and even preaching the gospel to all the nations of the world and bringing the light, as Isaiah described it, so that all nations would come and believe and know and have a personal relationship with the Father in heaven. But there were others who would have said yes, and they were saved. They were Jewish believers in Jesus. But they said, you know what this gospel that Paul and Peter and those guys are preaching? It's not enough. You need, yes, the gospel is good, but then you need to add to it. And they would begin, as he mentions, he kind of identifies them as circumcision. What you can, I can identify it with is legalism. The idea is, okay, yes, okay, the Bible, great, that is very good. But now how do we follow that? How do we live that? Well, and what does it mean? And they began to write with men's words, their ideas, their thoughts, their way to follow it. And I think originally the intention and the motives might have been right. But what happened was, as different ones would argue and weigh in and fight on interpretations and applications and traditions, and yes, you've got to do it this way, and you must do that as well to really be spiritual and godly, it grew. And over the centuries, that man-made part has a tendency to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, so that the scholars of whatever particular sect spend all of their time studying the ideas, the thoughts, the opinions, the teachings of men, and they get further and further and further and further away from the sheep, just feeding simply on the Bible, simply. Tremendous damage then can be done. And Paul was fighting. In fact, one of the things even that John said, John, another amazing Jewish believer in Jesus, he said, you have no need that any man should teach you, for the Holy Spirit who is in you shall teach you and lead you and guide you into all things. He writes in the Gospel of John. So in a sense, yes, there's a place for a pastor and teacher. But if you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can read the Word for yourself. God, by His Spirit, will teach you. And I don't want to get anything else added on as a burden or anything between you directly going to the Word. I have tremendous trust in the Word of God to do everything it needs to accomplish.
Good counsel about the power of the Word in our lives. Pastor Ray Bentley with our study today based on Paul's words in Titus. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's The Gospel is Enough, and we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title is The Gospel is Enough. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Titus on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Much of the Bible is history. Prophecy, however, is a glimpse of the future. It's imperative we have a clear, comprehensive understanding of what's to come and how we can be prepared. Well, Pastor Ray offers that in his new book, The Holy Land Key.
All of the signs, all of the seasons, all of the patterns are converging. And I believe that the next few years are going to be some of the most exciting times that we've ever lived through. Challenging, also revealing. And God is going to be glorified. He's ready to pour out His Spirit. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is on the way. And I can't wait for you to read and to hear more about it and get excited for the return of Christ.
Jerry Jenkins, author of the Left Behind series, says Ray Bentley has immersed himself in the land of the book and the people of the land. His challenge to not only study prophecy, but also to live it, rings with the clarity of a bell. He makes an ancient subject come alive. And I found this book riveting and convicting and moving. Get your copy of The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or find him on Facebook, facebook.com/Pastor Ray Bentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Titus. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.